I think it was late last week, earlier this week, God started talking to me about what it was I wanted to preach today. And, I thought it was chomping on it and tossing it back and forth. And then I forgot what it was. You ever go down that road? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You walk into a room, you forget why you went in a room. And so I was there at the house this week, and Angela says, she's recorded some things and says, who do you want to listen to? And I said, well, I don't want to listen to her. And it ain't got nothing against it being a woman. It's just, a talk show. I can get into them sometimes, but not all the time. But then Mac Hammond was the other option. I said, let's listen to Mac. I want to listen to Mac preach. And he was talking about renewing yourself as an eagle. You know, and I've heard messages for 30 years about eagles. And this isn't about eagles today, by the way, even though we are going to turn to that one particular scripture. But then that's when God started reminding me what he wanted me to talk to you guys today about, what he wanted me to share. And because Mac was talking about eagles and how eagles will, when there's a storm coming, if you ever pay attention, the worse the weather gets, the higher eagles, and we should actually just say any raptor goes, they start climbing. That includes turkey buzzards and hawks and all that. The when the barometric pressure starts rising, so do they. And they get above the storms. They don't fly in the storms, you know, because one thing we don't comprehend is how relaxed they are flying. You know, all we see is, oh man, you got them big old wings, you got to flap, you got to take off, you got to get up in the air. But once they're up there, all they got to do is make a couple adjustments with some feathers and they climb. A couple years ago, I went for a motorcycle ride over by Killdeer Plains, and I was riding by this one pond that had a small section of woods beside it, and I saw up in the top of these trees two bright white spots. Well, I knew what they were, so I stopped on the road and sat there and watched them. And I was, that particular day, the reason I was going for a ride was because I was having a bad day. And I thought, you know what, God, I need to get out and I need something else to be looking at right now, something else to be thinking about. And just sitting out here, I mean, it's not, this little pond is just basically in the middle of nowhere. And I stopped and I watched these two eagles. They're sitting in the tops of these trees. And the one, you know, they apparently didn't like my company because the one dropped out of the tree and came down within a few feet of the water. I mean, he took a nosedive because the trees were tall that they were in, and he nosedived right towards that pond. And when he got down there about 6 feet, he cut up. And when he cut up, he went straight up. He had picked up so much momentum. And I watched him as he just kept going higher and higher until he was finally just a speck. And the other one was sitting there. And I thought, well, I got my camera off my phone. I'm crawling across the ditch. And as soon as I crossed the ditch, he didn't want nothing to do with me either, and he took off. And it was just within a matter of a minute, these two eagles were nothing more than tiny little specks 10,000 feet in the air. It's a phenomenal thing. And, you know, there was no storm coming, but they were getting away from what they perceived a threat. And God wanted me, he started talking to me about things. You know, one of the things that I have an issue with, I guess I will say, is people that are going around teaching that behind every rock, behind every door, there's a demon. Every problem you got is because there's a demon. If you got a cold, it's a demon. I have a problem with that. Because if it's a demon, then why did NyQuil fix the problem? Okay, my mind works mechanically. And if it can work, if I can figure it out mechanically, then it's not what you're saying it is. That's why all this electronic stuff drives me nuts, because I can't see how it's doing it. I love seeing the gears and the arms and all that stuff move. So not everything is a demon. Not every sickness comes about because there's a demon trying to kill you. Demons respond to the name of Jesus, and that alone. They don't respond to you mixing up your little tea leaves and your maple leaves and oak leaves, whatever, and getting holy water and sprinkling it on people. That is just nasty water. If you stop and think about it, I saw some in Ukraine. How many people walk by that thing and dip their hands in it, and you putting it all over your body? It's holy, all right. It should be set apart, way apart. And but there's been teachings throughout the years, and I can only speak for about the last 30 years of this, that everything, there's a demon behind it. There's a demon why I wrecked my car. A demon pushed my car off the road. No, four bald tires pushed your car off the road. Let's be real. You're driving too fast. I wrecked my car. I hadn't even been back a year yet. And I'd gone over to my brother-in-law's house on County Road 22 between 314 and Williamsport. And I drove through this little S-curve there, and I went whipping through there. And every time I go through there, I remember this guy that my uncle was a friend with. And he went through there back when I was a little boy. In his, he had a Maverick with horns on the hood. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And he went flying through there, and he wrecked his car. I think the tree, you can't see the scar anymore where the tree, he plowed into it. He should have been killed, but he was not. And I think of that every time I go through there. But for some reason, those curves presented a challenge to me. And I had to see how fast I could go through those curves. And I got to where I could do them pretty quick. I had went over to my brother-in-law's house, came back about 2 hours later, not realizing that it had been raining over this side of the county. And it was black ice. And I come through there. And I had slowed down. I was doing 60 through them. And not the smartest thing in the world. I'll admit that. The car went once, started going one way towards the barn. It was right there by the road. I countersteered, brought it straight back around, but caught the ice again. And it spun me 180 degrees and down in a ditch and hit the telephone pole. I went. Tell you how bad it was that day when I called the state patrol. They said, if there's no injuries, call us the beginning of the week, because we have nobody available. There's so many accidents in the county. And so I never did turn it in. I don't need points. I fixed my car. Everything was okay. My father-in-law came and pulled me out of the ditch. But so many people, well, the devil did that. The devil wrecked your car. No, this fool wrecked my car. Driving too fast wrecked my car. And I didn't wreck it bad, just tore the bumper off. That was when I realized your bumpers today on these cars are worthless. Mine was filled with styrofoam. I don't know about you, but I like a bumper that's made out of steel. And anyhow, we keep looking for things, something to blame. Well, I got authority over everything. Have you ever realized you can't stop everything? I'm going to talk about some of this stuff here today. Go ahead, and if you got your Bible, open it to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I love it, you know, I mean, and we don't get, it's an analogy. Let's remember, it's an analogy. We're not saying we develop wings and we become like an eagle and we got to pluck our feathers out and molt. It's an analogy. It's something that we're referencing. And when it says, those who wait upon the word, the word, the Lord, shall renew their strength. The word wait is a Hebrew word, kava. And it means to wait expectantly. You've got a reason and hope. You know, last week I had to order a new battery for Angela's, she wanted a dustbuster for Christmas, so I bought her a little Shark. 2 days later, it was dead. I don't know what's wrong with it. Still didn't fix it. I called the company. They said, well, we'll send you a new battery. The guy looks at it, and he's looking at the price. He says, wow, that's an expensive little battery. I said, how much is it? He said, it's $39.99. I said, yeah, considering the whole thing's only $59.99, and you're going to have to send me another one. Well, it turns out it's not the battery. But anyhow, he said it'll be 3 to 5 business days. So do you know what I was doing for the next several days? I was waiting expectantly. I had something I knew was coming. When you wait on the Lord, you know something is coming. And here's the problem. We get to say, well, God, this is how you're going to do it. This is what I've ordered. I don't know about you, but I just have to wonder how many of those people were ordering the numbers for the Powerball. And by the way, I don't think God cares one way or the other whether you bought a ticket. But I don't think God's going to give you the winning numbers. Just like He ain't going to make your team win. As much as you can pray. I remember thinking yesterday, Justin had a basketball game and we were watching, and I was thinking, oh, I should say thank you. I was going to thank the Lord for the victory. And I thought, well, you know, I'm appreciative of the victory, but God didn't care one way or the other. It was whether those boys played the way their coaches were telling them to play. And because the truth of the matter is, I'm sure somewhere on the other team there was another Christian who was praying, God, please let my boy win a game. There's things God doesn't care about that we get our lives all wrapped around. And so, but anyhow, when we're waiting expectantly, we're waiting for the things that God has said He will do. Lord, I'm waiting for deliverance. You're just like when you're waiting for deliverance, you're just like that man who's in the house when the flood comes. A little rowboat comes by. Hey, come on in. The flood's water's rising. No, no, no. I've asked God to deliver me. He's on the second floor. Another boat comes by. Hey, I'm waiting for God to deliver me. All right. Now, next thing you know, he's on the roof and a helicopter comes by. Hey, come on. The water is getting higher. It's going to cover your house. Nope. I asked God to deliver me. The guy dies. He's standing before God. He says, God, why didn't you deliver me? He says, I tried 3 times. But that's the way we want. We want supernatural. How many of you live in a natural body? Every hand should be up. We are a spirit. We are. We live in a natural body. And we have a soul. Animals have a soul and a body. The soul means your personality, who you are, your mind, your will, your emotions. But your spirit, that's the part that lives on forever. God is a spirit. He gave us this flesh and blood body. So many people today are so focused on, well, I want to deal with the demon that's dealing with this, that's bringing this about. I believe there are spiritual controlling factors in a lot of things. And I also believe there's a time for us to put up our big boy pants and say, I did that. Well, alcoholism grew great in my family for years. I'm the one who picked up the bottle. I did it. There was no demon making me do it. I did it. And God delivered me from the addiction of it. And once we start realizing all this stuff that I did this. I let something go unchecked. There are things we should always keep in check. And when we don't let our mind be renewed by the Word of God, it's going unchecked. So many seducing spirits out there now. We got, and I honestly, it makes me sick to see this happening in any community as churches start sending out flyers trying to seduce people to come into their church for a program or for whatever. They don't love you. It's about love. When you have to seduce people, how many of you realize a seductress does not love you? Proverbs tells us this. Solomon is trying to warn his sons. Listen, guys, she's going to put on that pretty makeup. She's going to smell good, but she don't love you. We have to keep that stuff in check with the Word of God. That's why Romans 12:2 tells us to renew our mind. We got to have the Word in us. We got to sit down and read the Word. That's why I tell people, you get saved or you really want to start learning the Word, start in John. Read all of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Read those and then read 1 Corinthians 13. Stay out of Revelation. You aren't big enough for it yet. Because next thing I know, you're going to be going around following all these things. Where they, you ever got that little flyer in the mail from the, I think it's the Latter-day Saints or it's the Jehovah's Witnesses, one of the two, that send you with all the monsters coming out of the sea and they're going to do a seminar. It's the Seventh-day Adventists. They're going to do that. It's fishing. But the problem is we're fishing with something that is so vague. You know what is not vague? Love, grace, mercy. That's not vague. That's tangible. As we get closer and closer to the age of the Gentiles drawing to an end, we're going to see things happen. You don't need to worry about them. Ain't none of this I'm worried about. There's things going on in our country right now. I'm thought, why isn't he in prison? Why isn't that person in? Why isn't she in prison? All this stuff has to happen for a reason. Just like the church. If you stop and you look back historically, the church came about and was birthed during the rule of some of the cruelest emperors and rulers of Rome. Some of them that are known notoriously for being mentally deranged. The Apostle Peter and Paul said, pray for the king. That's kind of hard to do when he's feeding you to the lions. But if we wait on the Lord, we're expecting the good things. He says, and those who are waiting, they will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings as eagles. If you've never got to see an eagle up close, I pray that you do. They're huge. I've seen them sitting out in fields a ways off, you know. And, you know, from where I from the road, they look like they were about yay tall. But I know for a fact they're about yay tall. They got huge wingspans. And once they get those wings up and they start flapping and they start getting up there where they can catch a breeze. See, we're down here, we're like, I don't feel anything. Well, any bow hunter, any tree hunter, anybody that's ever hunted in a tree stand will tell you, once you climb up about 10 feet, you start picking up wind. And the higher you go, the more wind and the differences in the temperatures. And these eagles, once they get up a little bit further, they can start catching that little wind. There's no wind here, but there's wind up here. And then all they got to do, the wind holds their wings up. They just relax. And they just lean this way And then they go up that way. That's the only reason I'd like to glide, try hang gliding. And now I've seen this awesome thing. I don't know if you've seen it or not, jetpack gliding. They strap a jetpack to your back and you've got wings. I saw one, two guys are flying beside a jet. They are off of the wingtips, and all they got on is a nylon suit with a jet engine strapped to their back with a little tiny amount of fuel by comparison. I'm thinking, okay, you're up here where the jet is flying about 300 miles an hour right now. You're up there a ways. And I don't know if they had parachutes on. I couldn't tell in the picture, but it's like, that's awesome. That's my idea of rising up on the wings of eagles. But they get up there and they start to fly and they just relax because they know the storm is going to pass. So many of us, that's the first thing. As soon as the storm hits, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. You know, anybody that's been in Florida for any amount of time, and, I was in the South and the South Pacific for a while. Listen, when it came to typhoons and hurricanes, they were clockwork, at least in the Philippines. Every Thursday evening, we got off half a day because there was a tropical storm on its way, and in the morning it was going to hit with the force of a typhoon. And we weren't going to be allowed to go to work because when they hit, they tend to blow big things in the air, and they didn't want us getting killed that way. So it just became, we knew every weekend we were going to be secured. If we had to go to the water bowl to get water. We had to eat an MRE and just sit around and watch the wind blow and stare at each other and play spades. Then there was a few of us. They stopped us before I could get my turn. Who went out? And we took our ponchos, tied them to our wrists and our ankles, and a rope to the other guy on the ground, because we lived on a cliff, a bit of a hill, and we were flying each other. The duty officer of the day saw it and put an end to it. It looked fun. I'm not certain I want a drunk guy, though, holding the rope. Especially a Marine, because they like, hey, look, see how far he flies. So now, you rise up. But I love the way that God put this in here for Isaiah to bring it about. He said, they shall run. What did he do? God instantly took us back out of there because everybody's like, I just want to be an eagle and I want to soar. You're going to run. He brought it back to where we are. We run. We don't fly, do we? There's times I wish God had, ooh, yeah, man, that would be cool. Just take off. But we don't. And God wanted us to remember there are spiritual things. There are storms. You will not stop the storms, folks. Jesus, we have record of him stopping two storms. Once he was in the boat, the other time he was out walking on the water, wasn't concerned with stopping the storm. But he stopped the storms. And the Sea of Galilee in particular is known because of the way where it's located, the mountains around it, that winds blow across there unchecked. And when they come across, they can cause problems for small boats. And this is what was happening with the disciples. We jump out. We see a storm coming. How many of you ever done this? You start binding that storm. Oh, it ain't coming my way. We're not going through that. We're not we're just not going through there. And then you ended up in it. Well, why didn't that work? My faith, well, God just doesn't do that anymore. No, we need to be discerning the natural and the spiritual. See, those storms that were coming against the disciples were stopping them. They didn't stop Jesus. Remember, the Bible says he was about to pass them. on his mission. He wasn't letting the storm pass or stop him. And then you got the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, 27 and 28th chapter. Paul knows he has to go to Rome. He has to preach before he is finally executed. The Jews in Jerusalem have captured him. None of the leaders in Jerusalem of the Roman Empire can find any fault. They want to release him, but the Jews don't want it. They don't want another civil war. So off to Rome the apostle is going. He's in a ship, and from day one, pretty much nothing is going right. They get a little southerly wind to start blowing them in where they needed to go, but then they just kind of stalemated, and Paul's been fasting, and at one point storm blows in, and Paul says, guys, we need to stop. We need to put in somewhere. But no. This is where the Apostle Paul started picking up on some things that weren't right in the spirit. We need to stop. But see, the Roman soldiers, when they came on your ship, they took over. They consulted with the sailors. The sailors said, we're good to go. The captain says, oh yeah, I remember a friend of mine. We were all going to go out at our church. We were going to go deep sea fishing. My first time ever. We had a guest minister there. We're all out there. Well, we had a tropical storm had blown in, and the swells were, they 6 foot, possibly growing. And so the captain of the ship we were going to charter said, we're not going today, boys. And I was honestly disappointed. And one of my friends, I ended up working for the guy. He's a real good guy. He says, 6 foot swells? That's nothing. He says, if you guys can wait about 2 hours, I'll be back with my boat. He went and got his boat. 2 hours later, we're out on the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm going to tell you right now, 6 foot swells may not seem like a lot, but when you're in a 23-foot boat and it comes out of the water and comes down on the ground, I swear I saw my kneecaps pass my head. Somehow they did it. That hurt. It was fun, but it hurt. And so the Apostle Paul is watching. Things aren't right. And he says, guys, we need to put in. No. Captain is confident in his crew and in his abilities. And the Roman soldiers want to get back to Rome. So they keep pushing. Finally, the storm gets worse. They come from a favorable wind that's blowing them in the right direction to a nor'easter. Now, if you know anything about weather, you know a nor'easter is not what you want to hear is coming. They always bring in bad weather. Always. And pretty much it stopped them dead in their tracks, and it's catching them. They can see they're at about 20 fathoms of water. They can start to see an island. They don't know what island it is, but they can see land. They head to it, and then they realize we're only in 20 fathoms of water, which, if memory's serving me correctly, is roughly between 20 and 40 feet, which is not real deep for a big ship. So they go ahead and anchor off. And as they're anchoring there, some of the crew decides, hey, you know what? Guys, soldiers, you land lovers here, we need to drop the dinghy. We need to drop the skiff and go around and set the anchors. Now, while I'm not a seafaring man, I've been out on a few boats. And the boats I've been on, I've never had to get out of the boat to put the anchor in. You just put the anchor in. The Apostle Paul has the revelation from God. They're abandoning us. And if they leave us, none of us will be saved. And so he tells the centurion, Julius, and Julius orders men to deal with it. They go over, and I'm sure you can see the sailors over there lowering the skiff down, you know, thinking in the back of their mind, yeah, we're going to do this, and they just walk over and they cut the ropes, and there goes their retreat. So many times we want to do the same thing, don't we? Oh, we're going to abandon ship. We're getting out of here. See, God had a purpose. Paul wanted to stop back here. But God actually had a greater purpose for everything. And God told Paul, he said, you will not have a loss of life. We will only lose the ship. And this, by the way, was not a rinky-dink little ship. This was a ship of Alexandria. It was a big trading ship. We'd call it a commercial ship today. They were very nice and they were large. They get in the morning, they can see the island is a little ways off. They start heading that way, they hit a sandbar. The ship gets stuck in the front, but the storm has moved in and it begins to break the ship apart from the rear. And now they all have to get to the shore to be saved. Not a one of them perished. They all survived, just as the Apostle Paul told them. Now, here's a question you need to ask. Why didn't Paul speak to the storm? Jesus did it twice. You want to know what I think? You need to keep, and this is where we got to keep in mind, the Bible is a narrative. It's not a full description of anything. You can be reading in one passage, one chapter, especially in the Old Testament, you can be reading in one chapter and jump 100 years. It's so narrative. It's just, there's a lot of details that are missing. And they're not missing by accident. God left them like that. One, so we believe. Because what we would do in our analytical minds is we would negate the miraculous. God working in his awesome power. So why didn't the Apostle Paul stand up and stop the storm? I believe he tried. I really do. It's what I'd have done. Especially if I'm thinking, I'm a land lover and I don't want to drown. And I got more to go. I've got places to go, things to do, people to save. I'm going to stop the storm. But yet the storm did not stop. God needed them to go to the Isle of Malta. He needed them there. And had they continued on, they would have totally bypassed Malta. And so Paul came to him and said, well, an angel came and told me of the God whom I serve. We're going to lose the ship, but we're not going to lose any lives. And sure enough, it was as he said. The ship was totally destroyed, a complete and total loss. And they swam to shore, or probably floated ashore, got banged up to shore. And the Bible even records that the natives of that island showed unusual kindness towards these. They knew what Romans with vagabond-looking people meant, that they were prisoners. And by the way, the soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners on board. But Julius wanted to save Paul. It doesn't say Julius was a Christian, but there's a really good chance he was. Because why else would a centurion give a rip about a religious zealot of the Jews? And so they're on the shore. The natives start bringing some food and some blankets, and they bring fire, and Paul's gathering firewood. And while Paul is gathering the firewood, and like I said, you can read this in Acts 27 and 28. And while Paul is gathering firewood, the Bible says that a serpent, a venomous serpent, came out of the pile of sticks and latched into his hand. And he shook it off into the fire. Now all these people, they know he's a prisoner and they're thinking, justice will have its ways, which was one of the Roman gods, justice. justice will have his way. They're sitting there waiting for Paul to start swelling up and skin to start explode or splitting open because it can only go so far. They're waiting for him to die a painful, horrible death. Paul's still sitting there. No effects. He's talking to them, as we used to say in the Marine Corps, smoking and joking. Just enjoying being dry and warm for a little bit. And he learns of the, we'll call him the richest man on the island, Publius, that his father is sick. And so Paul goes in and he lays hands and prays for this man. And God heals him. He's got dysentery. Anybody not know what that is? It's diarrhea. Bad. Diarrhea times 10. And he's dying because of it. He's got a fever and he's dysentery. And Paul lays hands on him and prays for him. And you know what happens? People heard about that. Somebody say, this man prayed and God healed him. Hey, Sherry, go get your kid. Go get your kid. You know the one. And you, go get your mother. And they started bringing all their sick. And God started a revival, a miracle crusade right then and there. Because faith was ready. They were going to sail right by the Isle of Malta. And God opened the doors for the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel for people. But you see, if we keep the mentality thinking, I don't have to go through any storms, yeah, you do. See, here's the thing about the eagle flying up above the storm and soaring. At some point, he does have to come down. He can be up there for a while, but he's going to have to come back down through it. Because his nest, they have territories. He doesn't want to get blown over into another state because his nest and his babies are back here. His mate is back here. He's got to come back. So he's got to come back down through it. And most of the time on any good storm, it's worth its weight. You've got a good wind behind it. Anybody ever notice that we all get, oh, this wind is just awful. This wind is awful. After a really bad storm, I mean, we've got, a couple weeks ago, we had like 5 inches of rain or something, and then super powerful winds blow through again. Yeah, we complain about that wind, but that wind is actually a blessing in disguise. It's helping dry up the water and dry up the ground. But you see, we want to try to live in the spiritual realm, and we want to find a demon in the cloud. Listen, I do believe you have authority over things. But just as even Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, God's going to say, hey, wait a minute, that will not fit into my overall plan. You take that mountain that maybe I promised to somebody, or you take that mountain in which I've actually got gold buried in that mountain that this person's going to find. They're going to get saved. They're going to fund a crusade around the world, and people are going to get saved. But because you're lazy and don't want to walk around, that's what the most, when it boils down to it. See, years ago, I got over worrying about storms. I don't know, something about being in a helicopter during a typhoon that, hey, I lived. Okay, God, you can keep that twin screw bird in the air without dropping me in a rice paddy in the Philippines. We're good. But if we, every time there's a clap of thunder, oh, I'm terrified of thunder. Listen, I had some thunder and lightning in my fuse box the other day. I shorted out a wire by accident. Jesse got to see what it looks like. And then when I blew the 200-amp main breaker the second time,
Yeah.
But you know what? You get over it. Yeah, there's an initial jump, but you're not in the crack. Jesse said, I wonder if that's what it's like when lightning strikes. Trust me, it was bright. I wonder if that's what it's like when lightning strikes. Probably, but more powerful. But you see, we can't continue to look for demons in everything. You got the flu, it's not a demon. You got diarrhea, it's not a demon. It may feel like it. I remember the first kidney stone I had break loose. I swore up and down because we'd been praying against witchcraft in Morrow County. I swore up and down the witches got wind of it and they'd started casting a spell on me. You can ask Angela. I said, oh, Lord, send this back whence it came. Okay there, yin yang. How about you drink some more water? Oh, you got, you know, those kidney stones, you know, they're demonic. Well, I won't lie to you about the pain being demonic, but what I want to tell you, though, is that was the last painful kidney stone I've ever had. And you can ask Angela. I actually started keeping them in a bag, and I keep losing the bags. But I have passed kidney stones, passed one the size of a pea. Didn't even know it. And the ones that put me in the emergency room, that just about gave me a stroke because it was, let's see, I was at 196 over 190, or yes, 96, 190 over 96. The gal says, "You're in a stroke zone. We got to get you out of here." I mean, they were going to go through all the formalities of that, and I'm sitting there trying to hold onto the trash can because of the pain, and I'm going to barf again. That's what got me in there to begin with. Otherwise, they said, you just go out here and fill out these papers. Seriously, lady? I said, you got a trash can? I'm going to barf. She's like, oh, here, come in here. Set me down. Oh, we got to get this taken care of now. We filled out the paperwork later when I was hiring a kite. I don't know what they gave me, but I wasn't feeling any pain. And had no shame either, because unfortunately, the poor lady in the other waiting room while I was waiting to go in for a CAT scan got mooned. I'm just like, yeah, I just feel good. Okay. Just don't get offended if you're in a hospital and you get mooned. It's going to happen. But I swore up and down there had to be demonic powers behind it. Why? Because it's what I was told. Everything's got demons behind it. No. The disciples, there was a man, Jesus came to him and prayed for him. He was born blind. Jesus laid hands on him and prayed for him, and he saw. For the first time ever, he saw. The disciples looked at him in their well-educated religious all-knowing. Master, who sinned? Him or his parents? Okay, let's see. He's born blind, so that meant he had to have been sinning as a gestating baby. Not for certain what you're going to do in there. And the last time I checked, later on in the prophets, God said, no longer shall it be said that when the fathers sin, the children's teeth shall... that when the fathers eat sour grapes, the children's teeth will be set on edge. In other words, I ain't got to keep paying for daddy's sins, is what God said. So Jesus looks at him, he said, neither one of them. He was born blind. I'm going to paraphrase this modern terminology for you. For this moment, right here. That's his whole purpose. Was for the glory of God to be shown. So So then we got that other whole school. Well, you got sick, you must have sinned. Well, there's a lot of things we can look at. I mean, if we look at what sin really is, it's doing what we know that's not good for us. Well, we can roll it around. Well, you know, I had people, God broke your leg. I wish God would have got my attention another way. I really liked playing football. And sled riding was never the same. But when I look back, God used it, but God didn't break my leg. You know what broke my leg? A nice sleet storm, a hill, a piece of galvanized, rippled tin roof with an oak 2x3 as the front board because I broke the pine ones, hitting stumps. That's what broke my leg. The oak 2x3 did not, or 2x4, did not break that time. That was its maiden voyage. I'm going to tell you what, I was flying too. Dad didn't believe me. I said, Dad, I think I broke my leg. Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah, it really, really hurts. When we start, one, accepting responsibility for what we've done, asking God for forgiveness on that, we can start dealing with things. But if we keep thinking, well, there's a demon behind that door. If there's a demon behind it, God, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal to you that there is. And there are spirits that control things. Okay? Addiction can come in and it can set in with a spirit. I had a shocking revelation the other day and have really started modifying my diet. But an addiction to food, whatever it is not a demon. Your body was built to crave. When you give it things, it wants more. That's why somebody who started smoking out one cigarette a day is now up to 5 packs a day. They got to have more because now life is too much for them to handle. That's why the guy that sat out and just started drinking socially, you know, I'll have a glass of wine. Well, you know, now he's a raging alcoholic. Beats his wife, kicks his kids. That's why the person who thought, I'm just going to smoke this little joint, just relax, OD'd on heroin. Because our bodies, that is why the person that said, ooh, I like Twinkies, is now living on 600-pound life, which is a TV show. They have to live in hospitals. And it started because of a craving. Listen, there's a certain amount of it that is can be spiritual. There can be a spiritual influence on it. Ultimately, your body screams for things. Personally, mine has come addicted to breathing oxygen. Especially when I tie my shoes. And therein lies my problem. I got to hold my breath, bend over, tie my shoes. Okay, let's get the other one done. Yeah, you're laughing because some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. These are slip-ons. I didn't have to bend over. But if we will recognize that God is a spiritual God, but he put us in a natural world to live. Even back in Jesus' time, everything was related to a spirit. They didn't understand science. Do you realize that today, the knowledge we have of things, we would be called witches? Are you comprehending this yet? We would be accused of practicing witchcraft because of technology and understanding of how things work. You fire a gun, oh, you're a witch. You do this, you're a witch. There's things I don't understand, but I know the people don't practice witchcraft. I know a guy, he can take two metal rods, walk over water, and they just go whoop. He's not a witch. And yet, there has to be a scientific explanation for it. I don't know what it is. I think it's pretty cool. But if we're going to say that he's a witch, then we're going to have to accuse the Apostle Paul too, because he suddenly had knowledge that we're going to lose the ship and we ain't going to lose any lives. But if we want to really reach out to people, we got to quit telling them you're possessed by a demon. There are people that are. But majority of people, oh, they're possessed of a demon. I know some people, we cast a demon out of that person. I'm going to tell you right now, the demon's still there. I've seen people come in here and sit, and I could start preaching. Later in life saw that this person had blue eyes. Could not have told you they had blue eyes, because every time I saw them, they were here. And every time they were here, their eyes were black. I mean, saw Shark Tale, remember? When Robert De Niro's character, the great big great white, he gets into attack mode, his eyes go black. That's what they look like. Demons are very real. But demons don't control everything. The Bible says we're led away by our own lusts. Some of the storms we create. And some of the storms somebody else created. And guess what? We got to go through it. Weren't we just talking about that this morning? Sometimes you got to go through it. Israel, how many of you have ever really paid attention to Jeremiah and Isaiah and all those prophets? You know, the stories about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, all of those. Did those men not serve the Lord? Did they not love God? But yet, were they not prisoners? But what did God do for those who loved him in spite of Israel's rebellion? He saved them. He elevated them. Because they dared to use one, the gifts that God gave them. So, you know, when we're living our lives, let's try to remember we are a dual we're a dual status. We're a spiritual being in a flesh and blood body, living in a flesh and blood world that also has spiritual things happening. Not everything can be explained by science. I can't explain to you the Bible says an east wind blew and dried the ground when Moses crossed the Red Sea. Okay. I can understand it drying the ground. It's the whole water parting. Last time I saw water blowing, in order to get water to blow from, they were coming from the west. The wind would have been a head on wind. In order for it to cut the water and blow it, they couldn't have stood up. God did something miraculous. How about Joshua? He's going in to fight the king of Jerusalem. Five other kings join the fight. The Spirit of God comes upon him. He commands the sun and the moon to stay where they're at. And I heard something about this the other day. I want to double check this. But that the position that Joshua attacked from. See, God used the natural and he used the supernatural in this. He said, sun, stand still here. Moon, stand still here. So we're talking morning. The sun is rising, they're attacking. And anybody that's ever tried to shoot anything or try to look, if you played football at night when the sun's going down in the west or whatever, you can't see into the sun. And the tactical belief is that Joshua utilized this, the sun to his back, and he attacked and decimated those armies because God held it in the right position to blind the armies because he was grossly outnumbered. Still required the natural battle. It still required natural thinking. But God used a supernatural thing because according to what we know now about science, what happens if the earth really stops? We fly off. Everything in the universe goes nuts because just where we are, it's how it works. So God had to suspend all of that with another law in order to affect that battle. So not everything is controlled by a demon. Your high blood pressure is not a high blood pressure demon. It's probably bad diet, lack of exercise. Gluttony. There does come a time when you may have to break a spiritual control over that. And then there really are full-on spiritual things happening. But there is no explanation on this side. It's all a demon. That's why you have the Holy Spirit to discern. There's a difference. I cast that demon of blindness out of that child. Why ain't they seeing? Because the kid has no optical nerves. There's not a demon back there pulling the nerves in and out. They just don't exist. But you see, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit says there's no nerves. Command optical nerves to grow. Go figure. You can deal with the problem. Anyhow. All right, let's stand. And most of the time, folks, the reason we deal with things is because we developed a habit. When you got stressed, oh, hey, you know, here, try this. It'll mellow you out. Okay, well, then every time you got stressed, what'd you do? You went to what mellowed you out. Didn't matter what it is, food, sex, alcohol, drugs, adrenaline, rushes. That's our big one today. Your habits determine who you are. If you instantly deal with things that make you angry and by blowing up, well, it's a habit. You've learned it. Time you learned a new habit. Last time I checked, none of us are dogs. So you can learn a new trick. But God wants to do so much more in this city through you. I'm going to tell you, God's going to open doors for many of you this year on things that you never thought were possible. In a year, some of you are going to step back and you're going to say, I never saw this being the road I was on. I feel that's from the Lord. I don't know who. Some of your things are changing. Change is good and scary, isn't it? Sometimes God puts you in things you can't get out of. You know, I'll end with this. When I enlisted in the Marine Corps, I was fed up with God, the church, girls. Well, I wasn't fed up with girls. So that's why I was going. They showed me a pamphlet with a good-looking girl on it and a guy, and they were playing tennis. I got in and found out that's not what WMs look like. We had a cadence about them. It said something about they look like Phyllis Diller and march like Frankenstein. I'd hate to see what they made up about us, though. But anyhow, I look back and I see how God took a boy from a family who was used to hitting obstacles and retreating. This is uncomfortable. I don't like it. I'm out of here. I got to find an easier path. I look back. God knew what he was doing when I went in. I just wanted to take the ASVAB. I just wanted to take a test. And I swore in that night. Not certain how that worked out, Lord. But looking back, God locked me in to a contract that I couldn't get out of. So you know what I had to do? I just had to shut up and keep marching. And in that time, I met some great people. Real people. People who had problems. People who said, you know what? We're not perfect. But if you trust God, this is what will happen. One of those people told us one time, we were, like I've told you, I kid you not, we had $25 to our name when our bills were paid for food and gas for 2 weeks. I don't care how young you are and how little you think you can eat. $25 don't buy much groceries, especially when you're paying $1 a gallon for gas. Well, oh, okay. Well, I didn't deal with that. Okay, so we had a little bit of groceries, but not much. No, I mean, we Denny Moore soup and chicken or chow mein. But in that, one day the pastor said, if you're needing a financial breakthrough, come up here. And there was a few of us up there, probably, what, 20 couples? 20 people. This was a larger church. We were around about 350 at the time. Looking back, I now know that in that church, there were people who were very, very, very wealthy. And I saw some of them going up as I, after I got to know them, I'm looking at them like, wow, that person went over here. And you know, they and what they did, he said, is now there's some of you out here God has called to bless. Get up here and bless them. I think, Lord, I just need a couple $100. It would create a whole lot of breathing room. Anybody know what I'm talking about? $200 would create so much breathing room that you just, oh, thank you, Lord. We were up there, and this woman came up. Now, I knew her husband. I'm pretty sure that it was them that picked me up and took me back to base the first time I went there 2 years earlier. And anyhow, they picked, she came up. Her husband was a sergeant. She was, she hairdressed. Yeah, he became a hairdresser. He's still straight. I ain't going to say we didn't give him grief about it, but apparently he was good at what he did. But anyhow, she came up. So they didn't have a lot of money either. She came up and she says, I don't have money. Looking back, they were probably not too far from the situation we were in. But she said, what I have is the word. I can't remember what scripture she gave us. She said, God told me to give you this scripture, and if you will stand on it, he will take you further than you ever thought. And we stood on that. We dared. That's why I'm here. I'm challenging. I don't want to just preach a word and you go out here, oh, you know, hey, that was all happy fun. I want to challenge you. If I'm not challenging you, somebody let me know. I'll find a way to make it more challenging. We don't need to be letting Steve Austin and all these ninja challenges be the only challenge we face. Ooh, big whoop-de-doo-dah. Why don't you come play with me in the woods when I was a kid? We used to swing off vines that could snap out of the top of trees. And they did. Logs would break. Not something that's covered in padding to protect your precious head. We didn't ride with bicycle helmets. And we jumped our bicycles over things we should never have thought about. But stand on the word. Okay? Take the word and stand on it. This is my position, God. You said you'd provide my needs. I will trust. And if it doesn't get worked out this way, I know you will work it out. Too many situations I've been in and God's like, I've got you. You got to trust me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You don't wait. You're not waiting if you're trying to figure out how you're going to do it and how it's going to happen. That's not waiting expectingly. That's called worrying. Get you nowhere. All right. Well, let's pray and I will dismiss you. Father God in heaven, we truly do thank you and we praise you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. And Father, we know that if we wait and listen to you about the situation, Father, you will direct us whether this thing is being influenced by something other than this world or if this was just a cause of something we did earlier and we're just now reaping it. But Father, I pray now that you help us all to, one, discern that so that we can deal with the real problem. Instead of being the person who keeps changing, trying to find the source and trying to find it, we can ask you, Holy Spirit, to show us. So help us in this, Father. Show us and reveal to us the truth about some of the storms we're going through. And help us to realize that sometimes we got to climb high and get above the storm and just catch the tail end as it goes bye-bye. And sometimes, as the Apostle Paul, we have to ride that storm out. And we have to keep moving, knowing that you have a purpose for each and every life. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord. Lord God, everything they do, bless the work of their hands this week, Father. Those that are feeling overwhelmed, I pray right now, Lord, that you begin to bring peace to them, to their situation. You begin to open their eyes to things that have happened and why they're happening and what's going to happen next. Father, as they diligently seek you, I know you will answer. In Jesus' name, amen.